Hey, it's Travis, and welcome to another episode of Marketing Unboxed. In this episode, Allie and I had the pleasure of speaking with Sandeep Singh, who is a revenue operations and compensation expert. He has worked at companies as large as Dell Technologies and has done his own consulting. And we talked about compensation, sales compensation. That's one element of a larger RevOps picture, but very important, very nuanced, very complex, and at least in my opinion, very interesting. And so we had a great conversation, talked about how things have changed, how business has changed, how sales compensation has changed. He broke down three of his key elements to think about when it comes to sales compensation. We talked about quota planning, a big, important part of that, and touched a little bit on sales enablement. So also ran into a few technical issues, which will happen from time to time. So we actually started recording in riverside.fm and had to move it over to Zoom. So if there's audio discrepancies, you may notice about halfway through a difference, but you got to roll with it, man. And that's what we did. And we had a great time. Actually, a lot of bloopers, a lot of laughing happened in this episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So Sandeep, this is Allie. She's a co-host on the show. She's a HubSpot solutions partner. She runs an agency called Simple Strat in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Allie, yeah, nice to meet you as well. Sandeep, where are you joining us from?
I'm from Austin, Texas.
All right, Central Time Zones unite. Travis is going to be the lone West Coaster.
Exactly. Cool. We'll go ahead and get started. So Sandeep, welcome to the Marketing Unboxed podcast. I'm really excited. We're really excited. Allie's back, so got to get used to saying we again. It's a good thing. And so we're excited to have you on the show. And today, this is going to be part of the RevOps series. We're going to talk about sales compensation. So looking forward to digging into that. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, Travis. Thanks, Travis and Allie. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm a sales and revenue operations leader with about 20 years of experience helping revenue teams achieve their revenue objectives. I have end-to-end operations experience, including go-to-market strategy, budget planning, forecasting, pipeline management, people, process, tools, optimization, and of course, sales compensation design for B2B and B2C customers. I'm currently advising high growth companies in revenue operations in the area of revenue operations. And prior to this, I worked in reputed public and private companies in the same space, solving their business problems and creating long-term enterprise values. I'm excited here to be with you all and sharing my experiences in sales compensation, which is a critical area of revenue operations.
Awesome. Yeah. And so you've been doing it a while, and How have things changed when it comes to sales compensation over that period of time?
Yeah, most of things are still the same, but I would say the couple of things that I have noticed in the last 10, 15 years are related to automation of the sales compensation. We have seen now a lot of tools coming in the market for quota setting and compensation calculations, and providing the automated reporting to the management as well as the sales people. Back in the days, we used to do manual calculations in spreadsheets and the reporting was manual. Then after some time, we got the reporting automated, but calculations were still manual. And now, as I said, like with the tool automation, things are definitely easier for many companies. So that's one thing. The other change or a trend that I've seen is, of course, as the business has evolved, we are now living in subscription economy. And as the selling motion has evolved, compensation has evolved as well. So earlier when an AE used to sell a software license on a perpetual basis, they just used to sell that deal and close the deal and get paid and then move on to search for the next customer. Now we are living in the subscription economy, consumption economy. So you have the land and expand situation. So AEs have to be, or the account team has to be engaged after closing the deal. And so we want to make sure that the comp plan addresses not just closing the deal, booking, but also as the revenue is recognized over the period, and as the customers are consuming more, using more products and services, the account team is getting paid on those things as well. So that those are the two things I would say, big things I would say that has evolved over the years.
So Sandeep, you work as an external advisor to companies, correct? What are some of the most challenging parts of managing expectations as it comes to RevOps?
So, I mean, some of the smaller companies, really early stage companies, don't have a solid revenue operations to begin with. So they take time to set the revenue operations structure in place. And then, of course, when they are ready to grow, when they are ready to scale, then they invest in people, process, and technologies as far as the revenue operations is concerned. Majority of my career has also been with working with, as I said, Fortune 50 companies, you know, public and private companies, helping in the revenue operations. Over there also, I mean, we had pretty much end-to-end functions of revenue operations, and sales compensation, of course, was one of the big things that I had opportunity to work for many years. So that's what I would say, that it's like more mature companies have, they know exactly where they want to focus on, where the investment should be. And young and upcoming startups, basically, they take their own time to get to that stage. And investments, of course, in tools and the processes and people.
Yeah. If someone was, let's say, they were a fast growing startup, so they've gotten through some of those fundamentals and they're looking to build or strengthen their RevOps functions kind of from the ground up, what would be one of the first things that you would do with them or encourage them to execute?
Yeah. So in the revenue operations space, of course, the team, the sales team, as well as the management team need to understand the strategy of the revenue operations very well. They should be investing in somebody who is strategic, and that person can help the company scale in the right direction. Because what happens that many times the early stage companies, they don't think about that aspect, and then they just focus on, let's say, a CRM administration or somebody who's just maintaining some tools. Yes, those things are important. But then if you don't have the right skill set, you basically are just looking at more of a band-aid solutions every few months, every few quarters, or every few years. But when you hire the revenue operations leadership, then basically the person can come in and advise the client, the customer, in the right way and how to scale and how to appropriately invest in the right tech stack to manage the entire revenue engine, if you will.
Yeah, that's so key. Strategic is spot on.
And then going from Fortune 50 to kind of high growth startups, what have been some of the biggest differences from a compensation standpoint? Do they view it differently? Do they typically set it up differently? What have you seen there?
Well, yeah. So, you know, every company is different. So their, of course, compensation plans would be somewhat different based on their maturity stage, as well as where they, you know, how long their sales cycle is, because there are lots of variables in the design. But the core principles should not change whether, you know, the compensation is for a big company or for a small company. Because at the core of it, everything is what we talk about is the comp plan has to be simple. Yeah, the reps should understand what and how their commissions is being calculated and how they're getting paid. And then, of course, the comp plan has to align with the strategic goals. Everybody, individuals are carrying their quota and they're getting paid. But at the end of the day, the question is everybody's comp plan, every role archetype that we talk about, whether every role archetype has the comp plan elements, the measures that basically aligns to the company objectives, strategic objectives. So those are the key things that we look at, either whether it's a big company or small company, right? Now in the small companies, especially nowadays, like, as I said, that if the company is into subscription economy, in the subscription business model, they are looking at the land and expand and all that stuff, that motion. So we need to look into those constructs in the comp plan. Versus some of the other companies that they only focus on one aspect of the business. So I would say core principles would not vary across the companies. It's just a question of how much investments the company can make at that stage where they are in managing the sales compensation.
And with the land and expand is pretty prevalent now, how much of that is then put on the customer success team to do the expand, and how is compensation dealt with between AEs and SDRs and customer success, kind of the entire chain?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I mean, there is a debate right now in the industry in terms of how much responsibility the CSM should have versus the AE should have in terms of expansion of the business. Of course, there is no question about landing the business, right? AEs will land the business. But here is my take on it, right? So, I mean, first of all, CSM's job, of course, is to make sure that the customer is using the product or the service. They're onboarded well. And they make sure that it's to them at the beginning of a deal, right? Or at the time of closing the deal. So are the customers realizing the value? Are they getting the impact out of it? And once they get those values and the impact, then of course they will renew. They will be happy with the service or the product, and they will continue to renew. And they will likely be also a good candidate for upsells or cross sells. So in the land and expand that we talk about, that becomes critical, because then that's the best way to bring down your customer acquisition cost if you are able to upsell and cross sell in the existing account. Now, in terms of the CSM's core job is, of course, to make sure that the customer gets the value out of that. So that's there. But they also should be looking at the opportunity of upselling and cross selling. But here is the thing. Not every company is the same in their products and services.
So, Sandy, I think when you become an external consultant and you go into a company, there's usually that external set of eyes that lends itself to find things that people on the inside might not see. Are there some things that you tend to pick up rather quickly that might be broken or maybe inaccurate or wrong when you first start working with clients that are pretty common?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it looks like
we need to refresh the page. Can you try to refresh?
You were on that was so good. Keep going.
I'm sorry. It just shows you on the screen that recording is stopped. So just...
I don't know yet. I've never had that happen before.
Evidently. there he goes.
And the other thing, now that this is going to be described anyway, I think I and Travis were talking before.
I'll just re-ask it in our Zoom environment. So I'll jump over to there. Thanks, yeah,
cool.
Travis.
Nice. And Allie, what was your last question? Because that was a good question, and Sandeep had a good answer.
Yeah. So you've been primarily in large organizations doing RevOps, which makes it probably easy for you now to spot some things that might need a little more attention. Like, knowing what you know now about RevOps, what might you advise people who are either new to the position or kind of scaling up their efforts for the first time?
So in the context of sales compensation, I would say that based on my experience, the companies need to think about their compensation plans in a more holistic way, how they are structuring the compensation plan and how they are executing on it. And with that in mind, I would say the plans have to be simple. Many companies just make a mistake of making plans too complex because they have lots of products, lots of services, lots of roles, and it ends up being too complex. So one of the things I would suggest is make the plans simple to understand as much as possible. Yes, I agree that in the process, it could become a little bit more than simple. More towards being complex, but then at the core principle of it, always at the time of designing the compensation plans, always think about, is it simple enough for me to educate the salespeople, whether they understand what it is, how they're getting paid, and does it align with what we are trying to achieve here? So that's number one. Plans are too simple. It has to align with the strategic objectives. Everybody has their own individual quota to attain on. But then at the end of the day, the plan measures that we have in the plan construct, those things should definitely align with what the company wants to achieve. If the company wants to drive more revenue, then yes, revenue should be in your measure. If the company wants to drive more profitability, or the combination of both, then yeah, and somehow we need to figure it out how we could keep the two things in the plan. A lot of times companies think about, okay, focusing on the new business versus the expansion or retention. So how those things are addressed in the plan construct. So those are the things that needs to be there. The third thing I would say is plan communication. We all need to communicate our plans much in advance before the quarter starts and to all the stakeholders that are involved in generating revenue, not just salespeople, but I mean, all the supporting casts, you know, so that marketing, customer success, even HR and talent acquisition, they need to be aware of how the sales compensation plan has been constructed. So they are going and sourcing the candidates. They can explain about at a high level what the plan is and how they will get paid and make it in a more positive way, that the whole story that anybody who's coming will succeed here doing these other things, right? And so that will add value to the overall process. So plan communication is key. And again, the other thing I would say is timing of the plan communication as well as the quota setting. A lot of times we see that companies basically delay the quota setting or delay the plan communication. And in that time, when the reps are not aware of how the plan is going to work, how their commissions are going to be calculated, they fly blind. And they just don't know how much quota will I have this particular quota period. Will I have like 10%, 20% growth from what I had achieved last year? Now, there are lots of uncertainty in the minds of the salespeople. So the sooner we communicate about the goals that each individual will have and how we will calculate the commissions, which is the plan communication I talked about, then the better it will be for the company. And the other thing I would say, there are lots of things I can go on this one question. One other observation I have is like many companies have too many spiffs in their selling motion. They think that lots of spiffs will drive the right behavior, but that's not the case. The spiffs have to be, I would say less and very something that you can measure. And it should be, it should achieve short-term objectives. Mm-hmm. The compensation plans are actually achieving your long-term strategic objectives. Mm-hmm. Spiffs are basically meant for achieving your short-term objectives that, hey, if I'm basically falling behind my revenue mm-hmm. attainment or falling behind my margin goals, what short measure I can take today that will basically drive quick revenue or margin or new accounts or whatnot, right? All the different things mm-hmm. that you can base your spiffs on. Those factors should be short-term driven and they should not continue to be on and on throughout mm-hmm. the year. Because if you think the spiff is going to be there for the entire year, then why not just keep it in the plan?
Right.
Why run spiff separately? Just bake it into the plan construct because lots of spiffs distract the rep's mind share.
Yep.
And they are not focused. So that would be another thing I would say, a good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the things that you've learned, the theme I'm hearing is less is more. And I think that's one of those things that's maybe easy to say, hard to do. Why do you think complexity and kind of that more concept creeps into the RevOps area?
Yeah, so especially in I know your question is a RevOps, but then I'll focus on the compensation here, that the complexity is coming because there are lots of dependencies also in the points that I mentioned before. For example, quota setting. Do we have enough planning information from the finance, like the plan for this year or this quarter or this period? Is the planning data available in a timely manner? Mm-hmm. Are the territories mapped in a timely manner? Do we have enough coverage? Do we have enough people to cover those territories? Because territories will drive the quota setting. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the timely setting of the quota and complexity around the quota itself, mm-hmm. though there are lots of dependencies and everybody has to come together and make sure that we actually deliver the quota letters mm-hmm. and the communication to the salespeople in a timely manner. So for that to happen, all the dependencies need to be sorted out. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I mentioned about, I would say that automation plays a big role nowadays. Back in the days, we used to do a lot of manual stuff in calculating commissions manually, reporting on the commissions manually, reporting on the performance measures manually. Now, over the last 10, 15 years, things have become better. There are lots of tools available to calculate commissions automatically, showing real-time attainment information to the reps and showing them where they are today versus where they need to be. So reportings are all automated now. So if the companies are able to use automation, if they're able to automate their process in sales compensation, definitely that will help them increase the efficiency and effectiveness of their selling motion.
Yeah, definitely.
And the automation that you've mentioned, is that happening in a CRM or is that happening in some other platform? Are there tools that are specific just for that?
It's generally other tools. There are some of the tools available in the market nowadays. Many companies have their own home-built system, I would say. And nowadays, many companies are offering the compensation solution on a subscription basis. And they basically help with calculating the commissions, reporting on it, providing the dashboard to the salespeople on where they are. So that definitely would help companies in achieving the efficient operation.
Gotcha. And when you were talking about kind of the keys to compensation being simple, communicate early and often, I was just shaking my head in agreement because as a former recruiter, it's very difficult if it's overly complex and you're trying to have just an initial conversation with someone. And of course, especially if they're in sales, they're going to talk about what's the compensation structure. And I think that's a challenge too, is when you're trying to hire someone, it's not always apples to apples. And there's a lot more that goes into compensation as well as other benefits and things like that. And I think it leads me to a question around a lot of times you think with salespeople that it's all about the money. How much of that is true and what do you see there? And is that changing? I know there's three questions there, but.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, monetary and non-monetary benefits for the salespeople, right? And what drives them? I mean, we all have heard the phrase like salespeople are coin operated. Mm-hmm. They are driven by the dollars, which is true and they should be. But then at the same time, we should not overlook the non-monetary aspects of the incentive. So yes, it's possible that you're one of your top performer AEs would be earning the highest commission, but they may or may not be good enough for promotion or doing something better or bigger for the company. Yeah. So if there are salespeople who are actually going above and beyond their normal duties, that if they are training the new hires, if they are spending time and effort in enabling the other sellers to get up to speed or get the best out of them, or engaging in some long-term initiatives for the company that will actually deliver better or more enterprise value, right? Create more enterprise value for the company. Those things should not be overlooked. And even though the company may not be basically giving commissions on those things, they could give some non-monetary incentive or rewards or recognition on that. If you have an all-hands-deck meeting or you have sales kickoff or any of those big meetings, recognition goes a long way for those individuals or players, team players who are actually are helping in those initiatives. Similarly, they are also the likely candidates for promotions, for example, right? I mean, you know that these people basically not just have their quota in mind, but they have overall big organizational goal in mind. So that means they are the right leaders to lead the company in future. So those are the things that has to be kept in mind. And of course, with promotion, there is a monetary aspect. So everything kind of ties back to it. But the point is that there are definitely other things that needs to be managers and sales leaders need to take care of.
And you had mentioned enablement, other salespeople helping to enable their peers. Sales enablement is a big deal. It's becoming more of a big deal. In your experience, have you seen a direct impact on organizations that have a sales enablement function or have prioritized sales enablement and kind of any kind of direct correlation to sales reps, I guess, hitting their quota more consistently or more reps hitting their quota versus not? Have you seen any trends there between companies with and without sales enablement functions?
Oh, sales enablement is no doubt a very important function. in helping salespeople achieve their quota and the goals. Sales enablement is all about, also helps in reducing the sales cycle. There are lots of content that revenue operations can create for salespeople to be more efficient and effective, I would say. So new products or features you're talking about, educating them about those things, or you're talking about new hire training, or you're talking about the scripts, about the discovery call. There are lots of different examples that the enablement team can help the sales and make sure that they are delivering their job in the best possible way. And then, of course, when revenue operations and every operations team, I would say, is helping the sales team, eventually they are not just delivering on their quota and the goals, it helps overall meeting the company objectives, and then it helps everyone. So that's a key function, of course.
Awesome.
So any advice you'd have for someone who is in that type of role inside of an organization for the next 5 years?
In revenue operations or sales compensation?
I mean, both. Like someone who's actively designing sales comp plans here as we move forward.
The best advice I would say is be a partner to the salespeople in the best way possible. And also be curious about how things are working and what they can do better. So I'll come back to the partnership with salespeople, right? I mean, those who are successful in revenue operations, they need to understand what the salespeople are trying to communicate or how their behaviors are through the feedback that they get, they can collect from salespeople. So one thing I should also mention that anytime when we are making a process change or plan change or creating a new compensation plan, so we always try to not just get feedback from other finance and other supporting teams, but also directly from the salespeople, what's working, what's not working, right? So the best partnership comes through getting the feedback from them and incorporating as much information as possible in the new plans and new process definitions. And then the second part I mentioned about being curious is like at the end of the day, the revenue operations is all about bringing more efficiency and effectiveness in the whole function, in the whole revenue engine, if you will. And need to be curious about why something is working. Is it, can we do better? And if something is broken, fix it and fix it fast. And if something is taking time, do we have a short-term fix? Mm-hmm. Because salespeople are not going to just wait if some fix is going to take 6 months. So the operations team need to be agile enough to figure out a short-term solution so salespeople can start working on those things while the team has a focus on delivering the permanent solution that may take a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a fundamental business challenge. You've got your audience, which is your salespeople. You've got the fact that you need to listen to them and see what they want and then figure out a way to design it so that it makes sense for both parties. So it's good advice.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, in terms of the feedback, I mean, we try to get feedback from everyone. Like even try to get feedback from HR and talent acquisition. What are they hearing when they are trying to recruit people? What are they hearing from the candidates?
That's great.
What are they seeing in the market? Is our plan completely off base, or is it better than others? Can we do better? You know, things like that. So that's just one example. Feedback should be from marketing, from customer success, from sales, HR, finance, of course, because finance is the one that measures the operating expenses. And their job is to manage the expense, which basically translates into sales productivity. Like how much dollar of revenue you are earning based on how much dollar expense you have on the sales and marketing, right? So those things are definitely critical. So as a revenue operations person or team, I would say we need to hear feedback from everyone and then come to a solution that works for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I think we're coming up on time and really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today, Sandeep, given some of the technical issues that we had. But I think this was a great episode, a lot of great stuff here, a lot of very pertinent information and that a lot of people are trying to figure out. So how can people, if they want to connect with you or follow you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, so people can connect with me on LinkedIn. And definitely, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions through email or through even LinkedIn messaging.
Perfect.
Happy to help.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, yeah, really appreciate it. Great conversation. And yeah, we'll catch up soon. And that wraps up this edition of Marketing Unboxed. Just want to thank you for listening and thank you for continuing to tune in. If you enjoyed the show, if you enjoy the podcast, please give it a rating, give it a review on Apple. I think you could do the same thing on Spotify. And if it's something you can do on any other platform, please do it. I really appreciate it and it just helps and get the word out. And until next time, I'm out.